Hello, and welcome to Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 1 of Konosuba. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. So, I haven't watched Konosuba in quite a few years, since about around the time it came out, actually. But incidentally, I have actually read the first light novel about a month or so ago. I figured that since the third season is not quite imminent, but, you know, coming out in a few months, it might not hurt to watch all this stuff again. You know, freshen up on it. For what it's worth, I do recall liking Konosuba, by and large, so, you know, why not? Now, interestingly about Konosuba, I think in many other instances this would be a negative, that not much focus is given to Kazuma's, you know, miserable, horrible life in the real world. I mean, like, this whole scene here is basically the extent of it. You know, he was a shut-in, he saved a girl from being hit by a car, and in doing so he died himself. You know, I think in many other cases, we as the audience would benefit from seeing just how horrible the main character's life is prior to getting hit by a truck or whatever. But the thing I like about Konosuba is that all the characters are kind of jerks to each other and sort of reap the karmic reward of that. So, you know, we don't really need to know what his life was like. We just know that despite his singular act of heroism, he's kind of a jerk. Although that said, you know, it's not like Kazuma's entirely irrational. Aqua certainly goes out of her way to harangue him. I mean, I think this scene is sort of a perfect example of that. You know, the girl's alive, so Kazuma's sacrifice was not in vain. But, you know, she sort of tells him the uncomfortable truth that in pushing her, she was injured, and had he not intervened, she would have been fine. And also, you know, it wasn't a truck, it was a slow-moving tractor. You know. Like, the guy died, you know, cut him a little bit of slack. And that's probably the worst part of it. You know, he wasn't run over by the tractor, he died of shock. You know, I take it back. You know, her laughing at him is probably the worst part. Like, you know, I think that's sort of beneath the dignity of her office, as it were. You know, if Kazuma weren't on the verge of being reincarnated with a boon, like, this is a really rotten way to die. I feel like there should be some reward for something like that. So I do think it's kind of interesting that Aqua, who is nominally a water goddess, why is she the person here to greet the dead and all that? You know, that always struck me as kind of odd. It's also kind of odd that she's sort of talking down heaven. Because, you know, maybe it's not super great, but certainly it's better than a lot of alternatives. Although it certainly does seem like she has a bit of an ulterior motive, saying, like, you know, oh, you don't want to go to boring old heaven, you want to be reincarnated and do something else instead. And speaking of the reincarnation into, like, a game-like world, that's actually one of my big pet peeves. I enjoy fantasy, and one of the things I really don't like is when they sort of insert levels and classes and experience and all that stuff. Like, for me, it just detracts from the entire thing. You know, I can kind of stomach it in Konosuba, but I don't know. Like, I really just don't like that. I really don't think that there's any reason why it couldn't just be straight fantasy. You know, you are reincarnated into this new world It's medieval in nature, you know, just deal with it. So this is the really pivotal point, and I think this is perhaps the best indication of Kazuma's true character, you know. Aqua basically lays out the deal, you know, you can take something with you into the next world. It can be a skill, it can be a weapon, it can be something, you know, something that'll help you out. Yeah, you know, this really doesn't seem like all that good a deal, you know, going poof. That's a rather inspecific term for what is no doubt a horrifying experience. Now, I feel like Kazuma, this is probably why he was a shut-in in the first place, but, you know, if all of them are really good, you know, just pick something and roll with it, you know. The idea here is that your life would be functionally made, no matter which one you pick. I mean, that said, you know, this is also Aqua's job. She's being rather rude, you know. If your job is to sort of escort someone to the next life, the least you could do is maybe attend to them a little bit. So here we go. You know, this is perhaps the best example of everything. You know, this sort of encapsulates the whole thing. Aqua was nagging him, laughing at his pitiful death and all that. And now Kazuma says, okay, I'm taking you with me. So, I don't think saying that biting the hand that feeds is appropriate necessarily, but it's karma, you know? And with this sort of petty act, Kazuma and Aqua are sort of stuck in this cycle of backbiting and retribution and, you know, sort of tit-for-tat retaliation. Although that said, it is nice to see that this is truly something Aqua is not prepared to cope with. You know, that angel isn't especially broken up to see her go either. I think that's kind of telling. So despite her protests, I would feel like a goddess is precisely the sort of thing you want to fight the Demon King. Because, you know, it's, I mean, like, it takes one divine being to beat another, and I feel like a goddess, regardless of any fighting ability, would be able to do something just by her divine presence alone. Yeah. This poor angel is still under the pretense that they're actually going to fight the Demon King and do anything like that, you know. In case it's not clear, you know, they're not really going to make much progress towards that. Because as it turns out, Kazuma, despite bringing a goddess along with him, he gets a bit more than he bargained for. Unfortunately, that more is an anchor around his neck. You know, Aqua, she might have been selling herself short when she says, I can only heal, I have no combat abilities. Because she also neglects to mention that she's not really good for anything else either. Now, I do think it's rather telling that Kazuma, newly reincarnated, is just sort of dropped into the world as is, wearing, you know, a tracksuit with no money or anything like that, or even any real knowledge of the world. Like, that sort of indicates to me that this whole reincarnation business is a shoddy operation, which, you know, seeing as how Aqua was nominally in charge, I guess it tracks. Now, you know what? This is what I signed up for. This is the stuff I like, where Aqua is utterly inconsolable about how horrible her life has become. I mean, all told, it could certainly be a lot worse, but, you know, she's acting like this isn't the direct consequences of her actions. So, I mean, at least at the outset, Kazuma nominally has some sort of knowledge, considering that this is basically an RPG. It's interesting that just like that, she's like, oh, okay, you're reliable, you know what you're doing, I'll follow you around. I mean, Kazuma's not really that reliable, although at the outset, you know, we don't know all that much. Yeah, you know, I guess that does make sense that Aqua, being a goddess, wouldn't know all the information about a little backwater town like this. Because ostensibly, this is like, you know, a starting village. This is only a place where you hang out for a little while you do the typical quest of clearing out rats and goblins. But, you know, once you become an actual established adventurer, there's no reason to stick around, and therefore you go to bigger and better places. You know, it's unfortunate that Kazuma hasn't gotten any different clothes, because he really does stick out like a sore thumb like this. And I would think, in what is effectively a medieval village, you don't want to stick out too much. You know, I guess it is interesting that some of Kazuma's skills in video games do transfer to this. At least in the sense of being able to make up a lie on the spot that would sort of fit in. You know, I have to wonder, had we seen more of his day-to-day life when he was alive, you know, maybe that would shed some light on why he was such a loser, allegedly, because, you know, if he can interact with townsfolk here, why couldn't he do that in real life? Because, I mean, from where he's standing right now, there's little tangible difference. You know, they're all people, right? Oh, dear. So here's the big issue. You know, nobody has any money on them. And that's not good. You know, how are you going to eat? How are you going to pay for a place to stay? You don't even have the money to register to become an adventurer, which I'm sure would also prevent them from making any money too. So, you know, we don't know if Kazuma would have gotten any sort of basic starting equipment had he taken a normal item, but, it seems as though by taking Aqua with him, he's really sort of screwed himself over. You know, Aqua is confident that she can do something to help, but, you know, haranguing a priest in a tavern, that's not much, all things considered. So that's gotta be, rather bizarre religious experience, you know, somebody claiming to be your god and asking for money. And, so, this is something that hasn't really been explained yet, but Eris is a sort of, subordinate goddess to Aqua. And the fact that this guy worships Eris above her, and also sort of takes pity on her in the way that you would take pity on, like, a crippled puppy or something, you know, rather than taking her spiel at face value, that's kind of, harmful to her pride. Although that said, I think, anybody would be hard-pressed to believe that she was an actual goddess. Yeah, you know, I'd imagine for Aqua, life has gotten to be, pretty bad in short order. Feel bad for that attendant too, you know. She doesn't really seem to want to deal with them, and I can't say I blame her. I mean, maybe it was just coincidental, but it seemed like she was closing down for the day. So like I had mentioned before, this is kind of the thing I really don't like, you know. It's functionally an automated system to keep track of level and character class and stats and all that. I mean, personally, I don't think any of that stuff should exist in-universe, you know. Like, class maybe in terms of it's basically your career and your specialization, but, you know, it makes everything seem fake, and I don't think you should go out of your way to do that if you're writing fiction. So Kazuma, he sort of made the mistake once again by not taking a special item, and as a result, his stats are entirely his own, which is to say, average. I mean, I guess he's also lucky, but that is a bit of an outlier, you know? Because I feel like, if he were lucky, he wouldn't have died as he had, so maybe it's, sort of a karmic thing going on again. Now, this is something that's sort of expanded upon a bit more in the book. You know, the attendant was sort of trying to, like, coax him into another job other than adventurer. Mainly because adventurer is, like, the lowest possible class you can have, basically. You know, because normally you think, like, the basic classes are, like, warrior, mage, thief, and stuff like that. You know, kind of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Those are like the basic classes. Adventurers below even that. And by contrast, Aqua is not only exceptional in everything except intelligence. You know, she can pick a really high-powered class from the start, like Archpriest. You know, in Dungeons & Dragons terms, that would be like a high-level cleric. You know, like level 15 and up, basically. That Aqua is able to be an archpriest from the get-go, you know, that is, rather remarkable to the point of getting a standing ovation from everyone. But, you know, it's kind of unfortunate, because this is going to inflate her head and make her think that she's actually competent. And, we haven't received a whole lot of proof yet, but, you know, I mean, she was totally lost without Kazuma before. I feel like she's not self-motivated, to put it lightly. So just like Aqua, Kazuma's being a little overly optimistic, you know. Now that we've gotten the character creation out of the way, now an actual adventure can begin. And he's sort of casually neglecting the fact that he has no equipment, no armor, no nothing like that. But to his credit, you know, he is putting in some effort at manual labor. I mean, I guess if you do need money, anything will do. He doesn't seem especially suited to it, but how much can you really expect of a guy who is basically a shut-in? Yeah, all told, it really does seem like everything's a bit of a steady downgrade. You know, digging trenches, sleeping in a barn with animals, you know. At least things seem to be improving. You know, you get to eat food, you have a sheet for the hay now. And I guess if nothing else, there's got to be some camaraderie in manual labor. And it's just you and a bunch of, like, other guys digging by hand, you know, rather than using, like, an excavator or a machine. Now, I know it's a little throwaway gag, but I do enjoy that Aqua vomits rainbows. Because, like, that sort of thing, it's usually censored for whatever reason, I'm not exactly sure why, but I think making it a rainbow is a rather fun way of doing it. I guess the one thing you can say about Kazuma is that at least he has some degree of self-awareness, you know? He didn't sign up to be a manual laborer. He signed up to be an adventurer, and if all he's doing is manual labor, he's not exactly fulfilling his potential. And it's interesting that Aqua, despite being essentially an archpriest, she's okay with manual labor as things are, you know. She wasn't exactly pushing to get into the adventuring lifestyle. Wow. Okay, that's a way of putting it, you know. Her intelligence is lower than that of a human's. Aqua is on par with rodents and other varmints. Man. You know, there is one thing about Konosuba I like, and that there are occasionally peaceful moments like this. And I think the music goes a good way towards producing that feeling. I mean, at least right now, things are still optimistic. Aqua thinks that any actual quest against the Demon Lord will be a hop, skip, and a jump. You know. They haven't been thoroughly disabused by life yet. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. See you, Space Cowboy.